Welcome to Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. Pastor Dom went from a life of organized crime to federal prison. There, God saved him and set him free. Soon after his release, he attended seminary and received his master's degree and is now the senior pastor of Desert Sky Baptist Church, where he serves with a passion for biblical theology right here in Casa Grande. Now let's join our host, Pastor Dominic Grimaldi.
Pastor Dominic here with Street Talk Theology. I want to say hello to all our street talkers this morning, hoping you are taking your sound theology and bringing it to the streets. Give me a shout out, Pastor Grimaldi at Gmail. It will be my honor to interact with you concerning any theological issue or any current event that's happening in our world that we can line up, obviously, with the Word of God. Well, listen, we're taking our show abroad again. I'm on Zoom with my two wonderful brothers from India. As mentioned, Pastor Michael Teddy, Ashok Mohan from Redemption Hill Church in southern India. Welcome, brothers. What's happening?
Yeah, it's good to be back for sure.
Oh, you kidding? This is great. You know, we probably did a whole show just before we started the show. You know, we were talking and stuff. We were going over some of the questions. But I was telling Pastor Michael and Ashoka a little bit of a story. I called my wife before I was doing this show, and she was listening to Cross Purpose, and she really didn't want to be interrupted. So you might be saying, well, what's Cross Purpose? And so I'm going to ask Pastor Michael or Ashoka to tell us what Cross Purpose is, the podcast. And since my wife can listen to it, can we listen to it too, Pastor Michael and Ashoka?
Oh, yes. The Cross Purpose is basically something that came out of just three brothers in Christ coming together. So we have Ashok and myself, and we have a friend named Benji, and it's just, you know, three brothers in Christ who've spent a lot of time together. So we've known each other for years. We've been fellowshipping for years. Even when the church was planted and things like that, God has really used our friendship to help a lot of people around us. And so, essentially, it's just a platform where the three of us fellowship in public. So we just pick different topics that are of concern to the church, concern to Christians, topics relevant to culture. And so we just talk about these things. We talk about the gospel. And so the idea is to put out as many gospel-centered discussions, resources, topics out there. And all three of us happen to be software engineers. So technology is our area. So we love to dive into it and use it and use social media and things like that to just put the gospel out, especially in our city and in our country.
Ashok, I don't know how you guys are hanging out with me because I know nothing about software. Ashok. I was also, my wife was telling me about, she goes, you got to say Ashok's name right. You're not saying it right. I said, Rach, man, this is okay. Yes, ma'am. Ashok, am I saying Ashok right or?
So, it's much more closer to the tree oak. And so it's
more Ashok. Is it?
It's Ashok. It might be hard for you. I'm not sure if you have the right syllables in English. right. So my American friends have been having this struggle for years now. They still haven't got it right. So I wonder if by the end of this podcast episode, you might get it.
Yeah, you know what Italians say? I don't care what you call me, just don't call me late to dinner, right? in the pre-show, and we were talking about an interesting text. I think I'm going to get right to it here in 1 Corinthians. And I want to, Pastor Michael Ashok, I'm going to read it. I'm just going to read from 2 Corinthians 14. What the heck? I'd really be in trouble. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, down to 3:3. And then we're going to talk about this text, if that's okay. So let me just read it. Every time I read from the NSAB, when I'm in church, I say I'm reading from Paul's Bible. So church looks to me like I'm
inside,
like I'm crazy, right? Starting in the second division of 1 Corinthians, verse 14. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised of no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Verse 3 and 1, chapter 3 and 1, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as men of the flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly, and are you not walking like mere men? Okay, so I took spiritual formation with Dr. Harry Haney, and obviously Dr. Haney allows me to use some of use his class notes as long as I don't give them out. We want to give attrition. We want to make sure we give credit to where we're getting this stuff from. But I did take spiritual formation, tough class, but in these verses that I've just described, and I definitely want to, I'm going to pass the ball over to you guys. It seems like in 2 and 14, he's speaking about the natural person. And then obviously, 15 and 16, the spiritual person or the pneumatikos, right? And then the interesting part is chapter 3, 1 through 3, it seems like he's speaking to, carnal Christian, who somebody who seems like they are, he be calling them brethren and then men of the flesh, and there's kind of a dichotomy there. So I'm interested to hear your guys' take on what I believe are pretty tough passages. Pastor Michael, I'm going to start with Pastor Michael, and then I want to go to Ashok. But these are challenging scriptures. No, Pastor Michael?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are, especially because it is easy for us to kind of get confused by them, because reading other passages in the scriptures seems to be more clear about things like this. And, you know, I mean, this comes down to the question of, is there such a thing as carnal Christianity? You know, is there such a thing as, you know, I'm a carnal Christian. I believe in Jesus, but my life is just not as spiritual as you would expect it to be, kind of a thing. But I think as we read this section, for me, how I've understood it always is, you know, when you go to other passages in scripture like Romans, especially in Romans 8 and things like that, we find Paul make the flesh-spirit argument. And he says, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. So when Paul speaks about the flesh, he speaks about the human natural man as a man who lives in hostility towards God. In fact, he says such a man cannot please God. Indeed, he is not able to do so because the flesh cannot please God.
Right.
But the mind that is set on the spirit is life. And so the idea of spirit flesh throughout the Bible is very clear that unless you are spiritual beings, in the sense that you are renewed in your spirit, you believe in Jesus and God has transformed you, you will never go to the kingdom of heaven. You have to be a spiritual person. So here, when we come to a scripture portion like this, if we read it, Paul begins by saying that in verse 14. He says the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And if we consider such people throughout scripture, they are the ones that we call unbelievers, people who are not regenerate, people who are not transformed.
Yes.
And he says here, he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So everything about the Spirit of God is spiritually discerned.
Amen.
And a person who cannot do that cannot be saved, is not saved. The regeneration has not happened. Life has not come to him. He's not born of the Spirit. And then Paul says, therefore, the spiritual person judges all things. Right? Now, it is in that context that he comes to chapter 3, verse 1, where he says, but I, brothers, and, you know, as we were discussing before, he seems to call now in this context people who are fleshy also brothers.
Yeah.
You know.
Great point.
The way I have understood it to be is, you know, I was talking earlier also, I was saying my uncle constantly says this, when we come to meet believers, right, we don't begin by testing their fruit. We recognize them to be believers by their profession of faith. So if somebody comes up to you and says, I'm a Christian, our response is not prove it, right? Our response is, brother, it's wonderful to meet you, or sister, it's wonderful to meet you. And we would have no problem to give them the benefit of the doubt and to refer to them as brothers or to refer to them as sisters. So here when Paul addresses the Corinthian church, a community of Bible-believing men and women coming together, for him to refer to them as brothers makes sense to me. That's what you would do in a church context.
Right,
you would call them brothers. I don't think that Paul's trying to say you are all definitely without a doubt saved. You know, that's not the reference of brothers here. What, in fact, Paul's trying to say here is warn them of how dangerously close they are to unbelievers. Because he says, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual people. So he's just said that the natural person cannot
understand. A huge challenge.
Yeah. So he's basically telling them, this is the danger. Only spiritual people can discern the things of the Spirit. And I am unable to speak to you as such spiritual people.
Yeah, great point.
But I am speaking to you as infants in Christ. And that's the people of the flesh, infants in Christ. It's something that I tell youngsters who, youngsters who go to youth camps and get saved, and they come with that energy because they just met the Lord. You know, they have that kind of language and that kind of energy because they live lives, you know, not thinking about Jesus, and suddenly Jesus is everything. And what we usually do with them is we encourage them, we pray for them, we help them, but we know that initial zeal is going to kind of die out, you know. So since Ashok is on the call, I'm sure he can talk about that, because I've had discussions like that with Ashok when he first came to the faith as well, right? Because the excitement we know that initially grows comes out of a lot of emotion, a lot of feelings.
It sure does.
Yeah, and it's a worldview shifting thing. But eventually you see it drop. And the reason is because we are sinners. We live in a world of sin, and we are all, in a sense, people who have the flesh that wages war against the Spirit constantly. So sin, or the temptation to sin in us, doesn't get eradicated when we get transformed. So how I understand this text is, when a person comes to saving faith in Jesus, he is spiritually reborn. He is born again in Christ Jesus, and he is an infant in Christ.
Yeah.
In his infancy, his flesh is so potent, like the flesh of the unbeliever. And he is so much like the world in many ways. But as he grows in Christ, as he matures in Christ, we begin to see him put to death the deeds of the flesh and become more and more renewed in the newness of life. So you see him becoming more spiritual and less flesh-like people. And Paul's warning to the Corinthian churches, you guys know so much, is what he says basically in the beginning of the letter. You know so much. I thank the Lord for all the knowledge that you guys have. But for all the knowledge you have, and you have to remember, Apollos was here, and Apollos was the one guy who was intellectually...
He was a pretty wise dude, Apollos, right?
Yeah. He was a genius.
So he was.
They come from that heritage, right?
Amen. Very good.
So here's a group of people who know so much, and Paul's saying, yet I cannot speak to you as spiritual people.
You know, Michael, Ashok, maybe, and we'll hear Ashok on this, but I think Michael makes a great exegetical point, because it's something that you have to know the audience. Remember, we were talking about pre-show, right? I mean, you know, obviously there was a lot of stuff going on in Corinth, and a couple of days ago, somebody was asking me about, you know, the proverbial question, Ashok, you know, do you believe in the gifts? And I'm saying, listen, just think about 1 Corinthians. If there wasn't a correction on the gifts, there wouldn't be gifts. I mean, right? I mean, Paul would just say, hey, what the heck are you doing there? This stuff is, you know, that stuff was back then. But Ashok, my question to Ashok is, how important it is to understand the background, like Michael is saying, of not just reading these texts here, but to understand the whole letter, right? How important is that, Ashok?
Yeah, very much so, to understand what is the context to which he is writing and what are they going through, because it is possible that the same applies at multiple levels, right? It is also important to understand the whole context of the scripture in the same way, because it is possible that if I read only James, I can come out perhaps with the conclusion that maybe salvation is through works.
Well, he's got our next question, Pastor Michael.
Yeah. So, not that James says that, but the author is writing with a specific intent. There is a reason why he is writing. He is addressing some questions. And when you look at the case of Corinth, here is a church where people are going back to the temple and sleeping with the prostitutes there, and all sorts of messed up families. Now, this is problematic, right? This is not your everyday church. So he's addressing a lot of problems there. And I would say the context is very key, even when we are looking at these texts. What are the kind of Christians that he's dealing with in this particular text? Yeah.
So, Pastor Michael, if you know, not to put you on the hook, but I'm going to put you on the hook anyway. So you would say basically. So let me just ask it. Do you think Paul is actually speaking in this text to believers or people? Let me just ask it like that first.
I think he's probably speaking to a mix of them.
Okay.
A mix of people probably within the church. And I think Paul has a certain degree of, he's probably got that feeling that some of them probably are not true believers.
Mm.
And so the, you know, whatever said and done, this text in no way is justifying carnal Christianity.
Oh no, without a doubt.
Yeah, so Paul's basically telling them, you can't be here. Because if you're truly saved, it ought to show. You ought to be spiritual people. But you know, the things they were concerned with was, one was saying, I am of Apollos, and the other was saying, I am of
Paul. Exactly.
Right? And they looked just like the world, and they were worried just about the things that the world is worried about. And today we all, you know, so much of Christianity, even here in India, runs that way. You go into a lot of churches, they look like corporate offices. You know, the church is not meant to look like the world. The church is meant to look like the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. It's a very spiritual place of spiritual people. And that is what Paul's trying to push for. So we have to have that kind of, not jumping onto the other side and then saying, okay, you've got no fruit, you are no Christian. We don't do that.
No, because there is
such a thing as infancy in Christ. So we have to be able to work with people to teach them the importance of becoming more spiritual as the Spirit leads them, as they learn from the Word.
And Ashok, that would be the hermeneutic, I think, there. When I was looking at this text, if somebody hears this text and says, hey, this might be me, and this is not a place I need to be. So maybe I need to go talk to the elders of the church. Maybe I need to go speak. So I think the hermeneutic, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. I think a hermeneutic here is if this is where you think you may be, then maybe you need to go to the elders and speak to them and say, hey, I'm struggling in this area. How can I, how can I move forward? Because I don't, this is too dangerous because I don't know if I'm, verse 14 or verse, 3:3, you know, I don't know if I'm 2:14 or 3:3, you know. So I think the hermeneutic here, I think what you guys are saying is this could be a push for maybe the person who's maybe living this life, Christian or not, we judge that as elders, but still, maybe the hermeneutic is, hey, come and talk to us. We want to help you. Ashok?
Yeah, yeah, and I think there's a parallel in 1 John as well, where John brings a very clear distinction between when he says this. He says that if you say you do not sin, you call God a liar, which means that people have sin in their life. But then the distinction that he makes is, but you cannot be a worker of sinfulness, or you can't be constantly in sin. And if you do that, then you do not share in the same triune fellowship. The Trinitarian fellowship that extends to believers, right? That we are in fellowship with God, you are out of that fellowship, and that you are in darkness. That is a warning that even John gives. Now, I think this is how it would work. The same law, the same warning would work differently for a believer as well as an unbeliever. For an unbeliever without spirit, when he hears that, that's just condemnation, right? That is what he is. But
exactly.
For a believer, the reaction to that would be, oh my goodness, I am in a very dangerous position, and it leads to repentance. Similar to Psalm 51, where you see Samuel comes and calls out David's sin, and it is a big sin, but in the life of David, it did not lead to condemnation. He was not comfortable with, oh, okay, I could be a carnal Christian, let me continue in that position. But the very testament to the fact that the Holy Spirit was working in his heart was that it led to repentance, and he sees his sin and he sees the greatness of God, and he repents in front of God. So yeah, I think even when we use the words carnal Christianity and all, it's very dangerous, because in no way is this text suggesting that that it is a valid position that you should be comfortable with, but rather, if you are in such a position, if you do not repent, you might be in big trouble. So immediately go and repent. So it's that kind of a push, maybe a Romans 12 kind of a push. I beseech you, I urge you, brethren, by mercies of God, to present your bodies holy.
He's preaching, Pastor Michael.
Yeah.
So we got about, no, you're going next. I just want to, on time, you know, I mean, I had five questions, probably going to take us 20 hours. So, but no, I just want to give you time, and then you want to go, Michael. So we're at 17, 18, 19. 20, 21, 22. Listen, you're going to close the show. I'll close it, I mean, with the outro. But you got about 4 minutes before we get to the next.
Yeah.
You guys will come back for one more time. Is that okay?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
All right. So go ahead, close it out, and then I'll do the outro. You got about four minutes, four and a half minutes.
Right. So, I think it's important to define what it means to be a spiritual person. Because for a lot of people, being a spiritual person means to be a kind of person who does, you know, these super spiritual things, as we would identify it. To be a spiritual person is to be conformed to the Word of God, conformed to Christ. That is what it means to be a spiritual person. Think about Matthew 7:21. Jesus says, many will come to me on that day saying, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty miracles in your name? Now, quote unquote, those are very spiritual things, right? They are casting out demons. They are prophesying. These are gifts of the Holy Spirit that seem to be at display.
Yeah, it's a challenging text.
Yeah, and Paul says that, I mean, and Jesus says that, and I will declare to them, I never knew you. And the point is, for a lot of people, you can look at people who do many things like this. you know, who cast out demons, who pray mighty prayers, who are able to preach mighty sermons. And we might look at all of that and go very spiritual person. But yet, Jesus says that there are those like that to whom he will say, I never knew you. Because true spirituality is about being conformed to the image of Christ. So to go back to this text, here's what Paul says in chapter 3, verse 3. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? So the idea is, as spiritual people, we put on spiritual things. We conform to the likeness of who Jesus is. And the more we conform to him, the more we don't look like jealous people who have strife and who want to covet and all of those things, who are proud. We look like people who follow the servant master in our service. We give our lives for the service of God's kingdom. So we decrease and he increases. So to be spiritual is not necessarily what a lot of people would tag as being spiritual. To be spiritual is to be conformed to the word of God, to the image of Christ, which Paul says is not possible without the grace of God.
Yeah, you know, and I'm going to close this. We're going to come back and look at some other questions. For me, in the world that we live in today, as pastors and Ashok, and soon, Lord willing, by God's grace, to be an elder. This is serious stuff. I mean, we don't want to soft stroke this stuff because, you know, we're living in a world today that likes to tickle ears. And I think texts like this are challenging. I'm glad we had this discussion. It's an honor to speak to you, with you guys. I'm going to close this out now, but I'm going to keep you guys with me, and then we'll do another show, and we'll get we'll deal with a couple of more questions. But anyway, this is Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi, coming to you here in Casagrande via India on Zoom with Ashok and obviously Pastor Michael. So till the next time, this is again Street Talk Theology in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. You can visit Pastor Dom at Desert Sky Baptist Church at 891 West Corson Road, Casa Grande. And for more information, visit us online at www.desertskybaptist.org.